At this stage of your learning journey, you have covered a wide range of HTML elements, images, links, lists, inline tags such as strong, m, mark, code, time, and abbreviated, as well as table structures with their accessibility attributes. This summary chapter brings all of these elements together into a coherent, end-to-end semantic structuring strategy. The goal is to understand not just how each element works individually, but how to combine them intelligently to produce HTML documents that are meaningful, accessible, and maintainable. What does semantic structuring really mean? Semantic structuring means choosing HTML elements based on the meaning of the content they contain, not based on how they look visually. A browser can display a paragraph of text in bold using many different methods, but only the correct HTML element conveys the right meaning to screen readers, search engines, and other tools that process web content. When you write semantic HTML, you are communicating intent. This text is a heading, this group of elements is a navigation area, this data belongs in a table, this abbreviation should be expanded. Semantic HTML is the foundation of accessible web development. It ensures that people using assistive technologies, such as screen readers used by visually impaired users, can understand and navigate the content correctly. It also helps search engines index your content accurately, which has a direct impact on visibility and ranking. The logical layers of an HTML document. A well-structured HTML document can be thought of in three logical layers that build on each other. The first layer is the document-level structure. This includes the overall skeleton of the page, the HTML, head, and body elements, along with landmark elements such as header, nav, main, aside, footer, and section. These elements define the major regions of a page and give both users and machines a clear map of where things are. For example, wrapping your primary navigation links inside a nav element tells screen readers that this is a navigation landmark, which users can jump to directly. The second layer is the content level structure. Within each major region, you use elements like H1 through H6 for headings, P for paragraphs, all and all for lists, block quote for quoted content, figure and fig caption for images with captions, and table with all its associated elements for tabular data. These elements describe how blocks of content relate to each other. A correct heading hierarchy, starting with a single H1 and using H2, H3, and so on in a nested fashion, allows users to scan and understand the document's outline at a glance. The third layer is the inline level structure. Inside paragraphs and other block elements, you use inline tags to add specific meaning to portions of text. The strong element indicates that a piece of text has strong importance. The M element indicates emphasis that changes the meaning of a sentence. The mark element highlights text that is relevant in a specific context, such as search results. The code element represents a fragment of computer code. The time element marks a date or time value and can include a machine-readable date-time attribute. The abbreviated element marks an abbreviation or acronym and can include a title attribute to provide the full expansion. These elements should never be chosen for their default visual rendering. They should be chosen because they accurately describe the nature of the content. A concrete example, structuring a blog post. Imagine you are building a blog post about a web development event. Here is how a full semantic structure might look, described step by step. The page opens with a header element containing the site logo inside a figure element and the main navigation inside a nav element with a list of links using all and li. The main content area is wrapped in a main element. Inside it, an article element contains the entire blog post, because a blog post is a self-contained piece of content that makes sense on its own. The article begins with an H1 element containing the title of the post. Below it, a paragraph contains the publication date marked up with a time element, for example, published on time date time equals November 15, 2024 November 15, 2024 slash time. This makes the date both human readable and machine readable. The first section of the article is introduced with an H2 heading. Within the body text, key terms are wrapped in strong to indicate their importance. A technical term like cascading style sheets is abbreviated as abbreviated title equals cascading style sheets CSS slash abbreviated the first time it appears. A short code snippet uses the code element. A relevant quote is wrapped in block quote. A list of key takeaways from the event is marked up with all and li elements, since the items have no particular order. If the article included steps to follow, an all element would be more appropriate. An image of the event venue is placed inside a figure element, with a descriptive alt attribute on the MG element and a fig caption below it to provide context. Later in the article, a table summarizes the session schedule. It uses the table element with a caption to describe the table's purpose, t-head, and t-body, to separate the header row from the data rows, ta elements with appropriate scope attributes, call for column headers, row for row headers, to establish relationships between headers and data cells, and TD elements for the data itself. An aside element, placed outside the article but still inside main, contains a sidebar with related articles, marked up as a list of links. The page ends with a footer element containing copyright information and contact links. Why each choice matters. Every structural decision in the example above serves a purpose. Using article instead of a generic div tells a screen reader that this content is standalone and meaningful. Using time with a date time attribute allows calendar applications and search engines to parse the date. Using abbreviated with a title ensures that all users, including those using screen readers, can access the full meaning of abbreviations. Using scope on table headers ensures that screen readers can correctly associate data cells with their corresponding headers, which is especially important in complex tables. Avoiding the temptation to use div and span for everything is one of the most important habits you can develop as a web developer. While div and span are valid elements, they carry no semantic meaning whatsoever. They are useful as layout containers when no semantic element fits, but they should be the exception, not the rule. Common mistakes to avoid. Here are the most frequent errors in semantic structuring that you should actively avoid. Using heading elements, H1 to H6, to make text look bigger or bolder, rather than to represent actual document hierarchy. Headings must follow a logical order and must not skip levels without reason. Using strong or M purely for visual styling. If you want bold text for decorative purposes, that is a job for CSS, not for the strong element. Placing block-level elements inside inline elements, for example, putting a P element inside a span element. This violates HTML rules and creates unpredictable rendering. Building tables for layout purposes. Tables must only be used for genuinely tabular data, data that has a logical relationship between rows and columns. Forgetting alt attributes on images, or writing uninformative alt text like image or photo. Alt text must describe the content and function of the image. Using lists, all or all, for items that are not actually list items, or conversely, writing a series of related items as plain text when a list would be more appropriate. Nesting sections or articles without considering whether the content truly warrants it. Overuse of sectioning elements without meaningful headings can confuse screen reader users. The relationship between semantics and accessibility. Semantic HTML and accessibility are deeply intertwined. Landmark elements like header, main, nav, and footer create regions that screen reader users can jump between directly. Heading hierarchies allow users to navigate the document outline. Properly marked up tables allow screen reader users to understand the relationship between each data cell and its corresponding row and column headers. Inline elements like time and abbreviated provide contextual information that would otherwise be lost for users who cannot see the visual design. When you write semantic HTML correctly, you are doing the bulk of the accessibility work at the structural level, before you even write a single line of CSS or JavaScript. This is why semantic structuring is considered a foundational skill for any professional web developer. Bringing IT all together. A professional HTML document is not a collection of random elements thrown together. It is a carefully layered structure where each element has been chosen deliberately. Landmark elements define regions, heading hierarchies define the document outline, block-level elements organize content into meaningful units, inline elements annotate specific pieces of text with precise meaning, and table elements represent relational data with correct headers and scope. As you move forward into CSS, JavaScript, and back-end development, this semantic foundation will remain relevant at every step. Clean, semantic HTML makes styling more predictable, JavaScript manipulation more reliable, and server-side rendering more consistent. It also makes your code easier to read and maintain for any developer who works on it after you, including yourself months later. Mastering end-to-end semantic structuring is not about memorizing a checklist. It is about developing a habit of asking, for every piece of content you write, what is this content, what role does it play, and which HTML element most accurately represents that meaning. When that question becomes automatic, you are thinking like a professional web developer.